Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks for October 16th, 2015. I am Jason DeFilippo.
Guten Tag, Jason. I'm Brian Schulmeister.
Guten Tag and welcome back, Brian. How was your trip?
It was pretty awesome. Way too short. But it was awesome. I had a great time. It's been a long time since I've taken a really interesting trip throughout Europe, going places I don't normally go, meaning just London, and have work involved. There was no work involved. It was great. I had a wonderful time, and I'm very sad to be back, and I'm not having any giant pretzels for breakfast.
Pretzels and beer, basically?
Pretzels and beer and bratwurst and schnitzel. Basically, just deliciousness everywhere.
Well, that's good. What all did you do?
Let's see. I did. We went to Toronto for 2 days to visit the in-laws and see all the friends that we have there. Then went off to London for 2 days, visiting with friends and just kind of doing the normal London things that I like to do. Then I was off to Germany for basically a week, a couple days in Munich, train up to Leipzig, where I saw the German national team basically win their way into next year's European Cup. That was awesome. And then up to Berlin for 2 days and then home.
Did you do any dancing in Berlin?
No dancing in Berlin. By the time we got to Berlin, it was we were just exhausted. So it was kind of like trudge around and find more beer. So, yeah, I mean, it would have been great to stay longer. But then again, when I do those kind of vacations, we kind of go, we play hard. So pretty tired. And the jet lag coming back was pretty extreme. So good times, though. I had a fantastic time. And I did notice a couple different things about tech over there, particularly, you know, the wireless thing, because I haven't screamed about this for a while. But as we've all noticed, all-in is going away. There is no more unlimited access to bandwidth anymore. And it's been that way in Europe forever, which is why you will not find very much free Wi-Fi. Companies don't do it because they have to pay their bills, and they can't have 10,000 people jumping on their wireless and doing whatever they want, or jumping on their Wi-Fi and doing whatever they want. So Wi-Fi is hard to come by.
So what did you do?
Well, you do the best you can. We always make sure that whatever hotel we go to, we make sure that they have free Wi-Fi. And you know, there are some free services, but basically, I just wait until I got somewhere that had Wi-Fi, and I wasn't on my phone very much, which was fantastic.
It is a vacation after all.
Yeah, so it is a vacation. But, you know, even nowadays, because we live in this stupidly connected world, it's you want to put up your Instagrams and do your little posts and your check-ins on Facebook and all that sort of thing. And that is one thing I totally noticed about just kind of phone etiquette and the ubiquity of people just on their phones all the time. There's a massive difference between London and all of Germany as I went through. I mean, London is even worse than LA. Everybody has their phone in front of them all the time. London was always a crazy city to try to walk around because it's so many people and just it's unbelievably crowded all the time. It is 1,000 times worse now because everybody is staring at their damn phone. Nobody's looking. I must have had probably 100 people in just the 2 days I was there just run into me because they were looking at their phone and not where they were going. Germany, completely different. Sure, there were occasionally people using their phones, but it wasn't, you know, they would stop, they would move off to the side if they had to make a call or if they wanted to tweet or text or whatever. It wasn't as bad. London is just insane. The other big difference I noticed is everybody in London has an iPhone. Nobody in Germany has an iPhone. It's all Androids. It's all Samsungs.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, really.
I'm surprised that anything is worse than people on the phone in LA, but I guess nobody walks in LA, only tourists walk in LA.
Yeah, there's something to that. And, you know, the London thing, if you're down in the tube, there's not great service a lot of the time. So as soon as you pop up, you're checking all your stuff frantically. So it is a million times worse than even LA is. So, yeah, be careful if you're walking around in London.
Not going there anytime soon. Also, not going to Japan anytime soon.
What happened?
You know, I got this new office.
Yeah.
And it's expensive.
Which is why I'm working out of my bedroom.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, finances dictate that the trip goes on hold for a while. But you still get to do your own show next week.
Why is that?
Because that was the deal. You get a week off, I get a week off.
Oh, okay. All right. You want to just take a week off? That's cool. All right, Fergal, you're not off the hook.
Nope.
All right. So I'll do a show with Fergal next week. And I'm bummed out for you, man. I'm sorry. Japan is a fantastic place. And I was super excited for you to get over there and do that.
I will still get there probably in the spring. But right now is a really stupid time for me to skedaddle out. Also, just work stuff. My my colleague at my day job is going on a 3-week trip to China. So me going on a week trip to Japan, then him going on a trip to China for 3 weeks, not the best timing right now.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. That sucks, but hopefully you'll get over there pretty soon.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I still have my list of cool Tokyo hacks from Bonner, so I'm ready to put those into action.
Excellent. Well, we have a little bit of follow-up. This is from 2 weeks ago since I wasn't around last week. And, I hope everybody enjoyed last week's episode. But the Patreon hack basically got a little bit worse. This is somewhat amusing. There's an online abuse prevention initiative, a nonprofit dedicated to creating open source anti-harassment tools. And they've been funding themselves through Patreon. They got every one of their supporters got doxxed.
Nice.
Yeah. Oopsies. That sucks. Whatever. I haven't really followed up much with Patreon. I don't know if they've talked any more about it or if they're just moving on. So it is what it is. But we hope you still go ahead and support us there.
Yeah. I haven't done much following up on it either because it's out there. It's done,
Yeah.
It really can't get a whole hell of a lot worse. So.
Yeah, no, it's out there. It's done. Hopefully they're beefing up their security so it won't happen again. And I don't think that our particular listeners would be a target for any doxing.
Yeah, I don't think so. All 20 of them. Yeah. So anyway, last week, well, before you left, we talked about the FanDuel DraftKings kerfuffle going on. Then we did a little bit more on it last week. Jordan Cooper gave us a pretty cool rundown on what the whole thing is. He did some sports splaining to us.
Yeah, I was listening. I was listening to the podcast on the train from Munich to Leipzig, and I think he did a very good explanation of how the whole system works.
Yeah, and maybe the Nevada Gambling Association listened to it too, because now you cannot use either one of them in Nevada.
This is not a surprise. If it was going to get banned anywhere first, it was of course going to be Nevada because they have their own sports betting that goes along everywhere. I think Jordan made a really good point last week, and they talk about it in this article as well that you found, which is they're arguing, DraftKings and FanDuel are arguing that this isn't gambling because it's viewed as a game of skill. And as like Jordan said last week, so is poker.
Exactly.
Poker involves skill. Blackjack involves skill. The only thing that doesn't involve skill are the fucking one-armed bandits, and nobody plays those. Not serious gamblers, anyways.
No, you have to beat off an old person with their own oxygen machine to get to a good slot machine.
And this just seems like such a no-brainer to me. This is one of those times where I just throw my hands up in the air and say, are people really this stupid?
Well, here's the deal. These guys have been flying under the radar for long enough. Now the truth is coming out.
They're not flying under any radar anymore, considering every other fucking commercial is for
exactly.
One of these.
Exactly. It's their own goddamn fault for doing that.
Yeah, and they're making too much money.
Yep, they made too much money. Now everybody wants a piece. The FBI is investigating them. This is the end of your day trading or day sports crappy, whatever the hell it is. If you've got money in those systems, get it out. I mean, we covered that last week. Just if you have any money in those systems, get it out as soon as humanly possible because it's not going to be there much longer.
Yeah, totally. We'll see what happens with all this, but I don't really I never really followed what happened with just the regular casino gambling type of stuff because that was online for a long time. Then it got banned. Then they were being hosted on offshore servers and you could still do it, but then I guess you couldn't and who the hell knows? People are still going to find a way to spend their stupid money.
Yeah, well, they got my stepdad for $25,000. When you come in one day and there's just a Department of Justice logo on the website that you are going to go play some games on. So it does go away very quickly. So that's about it.
All right. So we will expect to see all these ads stop. And once again, we'll go back to having just beer commercials for sports.
Excellent.
In the news.
Friend of the show, Brian Blondell, sent me a link that he thought would be of interest to me. I almost feel like we've had this exact one before, except it's I can tell that this was only written 5 days ago. So we've definitely had very similar stories. It's called The Devaluation of Music. It's on Medium, unfortunately. It's worse than you think. Starving artists have been affected by more than just piracy and streaming royalties. Nothing that we haven't talked about many times here, but I thought it was a really good wrap-up that just talks about how it isn't just the piracy thing. It isn't just the streaming and nobody buying albums anymore that's causing the problem. Music has become an afterthought to most people. It's not what it used to be. He talks about the death of context, about how, you know, we don't have a CD anymore or a record. We just have these tiny little icons. Half the time, we don't even have those because you've stolen your MP3s and they didn't have the imagery with it. Not knowing album tracks anymore, not knowing the names of songs anymore because you're just scrolling through things, and how that actually really kind of devalues your interest in and your connection with music, and how, you know, that just builds on itself, how commercial radio sucks and DJs don't no longer, you know, are no longer introducing you to new things because they have their, you know, 15 song playlists and that's all they can play and that's that.
Oh, speaking of that, I have a 7-minute commute, right?
Yes.
And I have K-Rock on in the background.
Yeah.
Because I like Kevin and Bean in the morning.
Right.
Now, when I get in my car to go home and come back for my like lunch break or take the dog out or something like that, mm-hmm. about 7 or 8 times out of 10, it's the exact same song that I heard like 2 hours before.
Yeah. I mean,
there are 5 songs on K-Rock.
Yeah, they play 5 songs on K-Rock. I've completely given up on regular radio. And I used to be kind of somewhat of a fan of like Sirius or the satellite radios, because they have channels like, you know, basically the first wave, which is the 80s alternative music stuff. And then there's the 90s kind of grunge station. And they used to be okay, but now they're the same thing. They play the same maybe 20 tracks total. And this is from a period of time where there are thousands upon thousands of amazing songs that they could be playing. There are bands that just never even play at all. And it's just the same fucking 20 songs. And this is on satellite radio. What's the whole point of satellite radio, that they would play more stuff than commercial radio?
Well, there's no more competition in satellite radio. There's only one company left. When Sirius and XM merged, then it was game over.
Yeah, and everything is just playlisted there now, too. I'm going to get rid of that. I'm not going to pay for it anymore. I'm done with satellite radio because it's a piece of shit, just like regular radio.
You know, friend of the show, MXV, he has one of the last collectors of the 250 gig iPod.
Yeah.
And that's what he uses for basically everything. And, who knows? Maybe it'll go back to that if you can still find them.
If you can find them. I mean, if Apple sold one, I would get one again. I would eBay. Love just to have a giant. Yeah, I should probably just do that and just get a gigantic brick and leave it in the car and just put it on shuffle. And it'll be 1,000 times better than anything I'm getting right now. Now, I have not spent a lot of time listening to iTunes. What do they call it? Beat One or whatever the hell that station is. Beat Off. Yeah. The whole point of that and bringing over I can't remember his name is escaping me right now. The English DJ to kind of manage it was that this would be the station that does that. I do remember when it first launched and I was listening to it, I was like, they're playing a vast variety of music, but nothing I like. So it didn't really matter anyways, but and then
yes, they have a wider variety of shit you'll never listen to.
A bigger variety of shit. Yeah, and then the article also touches on how the media doesn't really cover music much anymore and doesn't give much interest to it. If the media does cover it, it's Rihanna, and it's more because her tits are out again. Conflation, which is music is just bundled up with movies and books and everything else on all the stores that you can, like the iTunes store. Anti-intellectualism.
Okay, dude, we've been talking about this for 4.5 minutes. I think we got the point. Yeah,
it's a good long article telling us why music sucks. Now let's move on to why Uber sucks. I guess they're expanding into same-day delivery service, which I don't understand because it's such a crowded space already. Amazon's doing it, Google's doing it, blah, blah, blah. But now they're going to do it too.
Well, why not? They've got that's their thing. They move shit from point A to point B. That's usually people, but if they can make some money on it, they're going to do it. They've got the infrastructure.
They do have the infrastructure, so they're doing it. And now, in addition to getting my fat burger and taking my fat ass to the airport, they will bring me fat pants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you get in and out? Although I can see an in and out from my window, so I guess I can walk over.
Well, I don't have one that's that close. No, they haven't made a deal with in and out yet. So they do fat burger. That's the only burger that I've ever seen. But they do bring us, you know, the Santa Monica, the Bay Cities subs. which is very nice.
I'm wondering, maybe I can cut a side deal. I'll just sit in front of In-N-Out and sign up for Uber and just say, hey, you know, if you want a burger and an Uber, call me.
Exactly. In an Uber. So Playboy.
Yeah. What about him?
I don't know. They announced that they're not going to have nudes in Playboy anymore. So first off, anybody that has access to a computer doesn't find this terribly exciting or interesting. The only thought I had about it, though, was we've talked about this in terms of music and how the labels used to be a good filtering system. Playboy was a pretty good filtering system for finding really hot chicks.
Yeah, but so is the internet in general right now. I mean, that's, you know, it's I think it's time. I think they should have done this probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, well, we shall finally find out if people really do just listen to it or read it for the articles. I seriously don't think that they do, and I think Playboy will probably be out of business in about 10 years.
Well, you saw that their numbers on the website skyrocketed after they started pulling it, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so they do have some proof behind the pudding here.
Well, I just don't think anybody's going to pay for their articles, but we'll see. I guess it's advertising model, which we already know doesn't work, but hey, whatever.
I tell you what, though, I saw one of the most insane ads. They are getting so clever now. I'm going through an article, and I'm on my phone, and I'm scrolling through, and then this ad starts to pop up, and I'm like, what the hell? Where's the close button? It's like, no. You keep scrolling. We're going to show you the ad, and when you get to the other side, you get the rest of the article. It's like,
really?
It was so embedded into the piece. I was just like, that's actually pretty damn clever. Good job.
All right. Well, there's some smart people out there still. We'll see what happens. But yeah, Playboy. Oh, well, no more nudes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's no big deal. I mean, I used to be like, it would be like, okay, well, the celebrities, when you wanted to see a hot celebrity chick, she would do Playboy. But now they just do it for artsy fartsy articles, or they do it on all these celebrity women are like posting Instagrams of themselves naked all the time now. So we don't need Playboy.
Yeah, you just go to a celebrity blog. That's all you need to do.
Pretty much, yeah. Now, Twitter has had a lot of issues recently in terms of trying to figure out who the hell's going to run their damn company and who's going to be on the board. As of Wednesday, they appointed a longtime Google guy, Omid Kordestani. He is basically their executive chairman now.
Okay.
He's well-respected in the industry. There's a lot of flaws with more than just him. Quite a few people on Twitter's board, they don't use Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about this, actually.
I'm not surprised either. And certainly there's an argument that can be made that basically they just know business and they should be able to run a business. But I would argue that if you're not using your product and trying to convince people to use your product as half of your job, you're not doing your job.
No, they should be more well-versed in what Twitter actually does. But yes, these guys are making business deals. The product managers are the ones that should be the power Twitter users. You know, if those are the guys that are making and gals that are making the decisions on the future of what Twitter is actually going to be as a product, that's where it needs to be. These guys, you know, it's a public company now. These guys are just dealing with business.
Just saying, it would probably be helpful, and I would like to see this across other companies as well. Like, I think if anybody on Domino's Pizza's board actually ate the fucking pizza every now and then, it'd probably end up being a lot better.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's true. But do we actually give a shit about what these people have to say?
No.
So I think it's fine that they're not on Twitter because they're probably pretty damn boring to begin with.
Fair enough. There's been a move for cell phones recently. AT&T announced, and now T-Mobile has followed up, that they're all working to allow one phone number to work on multiple devices, which probably should have happened about 15 years ago.
Explain to me what this means.
You'll be able to share a single phone number across multiple devices, i.e. if you have, I guess... I'm not entirely sure how this is going to work.
That's what I want to know.
If you've got a phone and maybe you've got an iPad, and now you can make calls with your iPad. I don't know. It's going to be all over the place. We'll see. Or maybe this is for like, who would really use this? Like a family, but you wouldn't all want the same number. I don't know.
Yeah. See, this makes, I don't want to use one number across multiple devices. I want one number per each device. Like if I want to, I mean, I can see if it's like, you know, you have if you get to your house, and then it switches over to your home phones, but you can already do that by pushing things around.
You do a lot of this. I mean, basically, down at the bottom, it says, now Sprint is also looking into it. It would allow a customer's smartphone, tablet, and other devices to share a single phone number. They kind of, If you're in the Apple infrastructure, that it does that already.
You've got handoff for that. Yeah, you don't need that. I don't want people calling my iPad in the middle of the night. I really don't.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to shut that down anyways. I mean, I like the idea of having one phone number. If you have multiple devices that have different phone numbers, that would be annoying. But I don't really, there's other ways around this technology already.
Yeah.
So whatever. Non-story.
Well, thanks for bringing that one up.
Sorry. Hey, I only got in on Tuesday and I'm jet lagged from all hell. So I found interesting things, threw them in there and kind of half-ass read them. Now, here's something I bet nobody saw coming. We've been talking a lot about autonomous cars and how Google is going and Uber are kind of leading the race on all this, when all of a sudden Tesla swept in last night and won.
Yeah, yeah, they did an over-the-air update and boom, there you go.
Boom, if you have a Tesla, you have an autonomous vehicle already. So, wow, nobody saw that one coming.
Yeah, how good is it, though?
Nobody knows because it came out yesterday. And what I'm really interested in is the legality of this. Like, I thought that like one of the hurdles, especially for Google and Uber who are pursuing this, is this has got to go through testing and approvals and governmental organizations. But all of a sudden now there's just a bunch of Teslas out there that are just doing it.
But the thing is, there's a lot of this stuff already out there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these technologies already exist, the self-parking, all that sort of thing. But this is the first time it's just been kind of, it's all over the place. It still involves a certain amount of activity, of human activity and monitoring. But basically, you can hit a button that you want to switch lanes. You want to go to the right. You hit a button and then you can take your hands off the wheel. And when it's safe to do so, the Tesla will go ahead and switch lanes for you.
That's cool. I mean, We've already got things like adaptive cruise control and all sorts of other little things. Like the Mercedes has always been the guys that have been ahead of the curve on this. So this is just, I think, an iteration forward. It's not like, well, I guess the next update they are going to have an update that will let it go park in a garage for you and then come back when you're ready for it without a driver.
So, all I want to be able to do then is use my Apple Watch to go, Kit, I need you.
Yep. That will be very, very soon. Except yeah. Siri barely works on on my watch.
Well, yes, there's some hurdles to overcome. But yeah, good on you, Tesla. I'm glad I bought stock.
I wish I had a car. I wish I could afford a Tesla.
Well, they're supposed to be coming out with the more consumer-friendly priced model, I think, next year. So we'll see.
Yep. I want to know more about the technology. I'm going to research that because, you know, you look at the Google autonomous cars and they've got LiDAR and radar and all sorts of gadgets to keep that thing going. Yep. You know, they've got the hat. You look at all those cars, they've got the hat. And this has no hat.
This has no hat, but this is a car built from the ground up to be, it's basically a computer.
Yeah.
So
it's more awesome.
It's more awesome. I totally want one someday. Yeah. Donate to patreon.com/OG because we want Teslas.
It's good to want things. And I want aliens, but I don't think there are aliens out there. There's this story going around about this giant megastructure that's orbiting a star near the Milky Way. It's been all over everywhere. If you haven't seen it, just open Facebook. The thought is that there's, you know, this star out there that has this collection structure around it to get more energy from the sun. It's an old science fiction trope, and they think that they've found it, sort of.
People are saying, is this a huge alien power station in space? This is the kind of thing that advanced technologies would do, all of which is true. But we don't have any fucking clue. This is so far away. It's just some weird bits of data that are coming through that can't really be explained yet. Cool as shit, though. And yes, this is basically almost every sci-fi book I've read in the last 20 years has this concept in it.
What's really cool, though, is they are going to get time on Kepler to point at, you know, get more data from it.
Yes, so let's do that. I mean, there's so many exciting things coming from NASA and from space right now. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we definitely found that there was free flowing water on Mars thing. And then the week I was gone, the awesome announcement about Pluto, blue skies and water ice on it. I mean, that's amazing. All the stuff that we're finding out there, it's just it's a matter of time. I don't think that we're going to find intelligent life anytime soon or that we'll have to welcome our new overlords. But I do think that we're going to definitely find, micro life in the not too distant future.
I think NASA needs to get on Patreon. I think that's the only way.
Since our government doesn't seem too keen on funding them, I will happily do it out of my own pocket.
Oh, man. I saw an interesting article on the age of, it's called The Age of Profile Anxiety on Fusion.net.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about just how people are, you know, well, there was the people kerfuffle.
People, yes.
With it. I don't know how that's going to play out, but probably as nothing.
It's going to play out exactly the way it always should play out, which is it'll launch. It'll be a thing for a little while. But they did what we always desperately tell people you need to do. They switched it to be opt-in. So you are not forced onto it automatically. You are not on it. If you do not want to be on it, you have to approve of being on it, which is how all technology should be.
True that.
Damn it. Damn it.
Yeah, except so. If you're in China and then you're getting tracked no matter what, but that's nothing new.
Yeah, that was really interesting about how basically China is starting to use the technology to add to their how we're going to control society system.
Yeah, for me, though, the most interesting thing that came out of this article is as I'm scrolling down, it's like, oh, here's the new tool that we're all obsessed with at Fusion called Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the reason I kept the article in there, because this is the real kicker to me. Crystal shows you the best way to communicate with any coworker, prospect, or customer based on their unique personality. What this thing is doing is going out and profiling you.
Yep.
Everybody.
Yep.
And it will tell you things about the person that you're writing to. And if you like are in the main pricing tier, you can even get example email templates that are based on the person's like, you know, temperament and what they like and all sorts of shit. It's
right.
I signed up to try and get in for the launch, but I'm still waiting.
Yeah, I signed up as well, but I'm not going to jump ahead in line by tweeting and then inviting other people. So
yeah, I hate that.
That's a load of shit. You know, this is big data. This is stuff we knew was going to come. How accurate is it going to be? Probably not very at all. And all of these things always keep they keep forgetting one of the mainstays of human nature, which is if we know we're being profiled and sold to, we are more reluctant and we go, fuck you. I'm going to do something completely different.
Yeah. I've tried a couple of these systems. I want to get into this one.
What was the one that you tried like 2 weeks ago? You were talking or 3 weeks ago.
You know, the funny part is I've already canceled my account, deleted the apps. I was getting notes every day on the people that I was meeting. It went through my Google Calendar and mm-hmm. would give me a dossier of the people that I was meeting. And almost all of them were completely useless
right.
and wrong. And it's like the wrong person. I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to give me a dossier on somebody, at least give me the right person. If the info is wrong, I at least want to be knowing that I'm looking at the right person.
Well, I'm fairly sure that Crystal will get the information right because it is pulling through public social networks and stuff like that.
So are these, dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's you know, big data is not always right. There's a lot of signal. The signal to noise issue is going to be a big problem for all these kind of companies.
Yeah, and just cross-pollination, people changing their handles. You know, it's like, okay, my handle has changed like 10 times on Twitter. It's actually going to change again soon. So since Kim.com is not a thing anymore, Jason.com is not really relevant. So I might go back to one of my old handles. I still have them all.
Of course.
I've got 45 of them.
You are insane. I have one, and I still basically never use that.
Yeah, that's true. Business Insider has an interesting article on Mark Zuckerberg, and he responds to the internet.org, you know, feedback that people are just like, oh, this is not good. This is not good. You need net neutrality.
Right.
And I like it. I like his response on this. So I don't want to read the whole thing out loud, but it's the what it comes down to is here. If you really want to get on the internet for free
mm-hmm.
and just see a small subset of stuff for free, it's free.
Right.
You don't, you know, we're giving this to you for free, but this is a taste of what the bigger internet is. And if you have money and you would like to get on the entire internet, by all means, buy a plan.
Yeah. Got no problem with that.
Yeah. It's basically a free trial to the internet.
Yeah. And that's totally fine. And that's the way it should be. But again, we've raised an entire generation of people that think everything should be free.
But this is not for this entire generation. This is for, like, you know, sub-Saharan Africa and people who have never been on the internet before.
Yes. And there's, again, no issues with that. None at all. Make sure that the basics that one would need to survive and in society and that would help and benefit them is free. And if they want to look at porn, they're going to have to pay for it.
Yes, Maslow's hierarchy of the internet porn infrastructure needs to be paid.
Wikipedia can be free, but the fun stuff and, you know, Candy Crush, you got to pay for.
Now, you've heard of the IAB, right?
I have.
Yes, the Interactive Advertising Bureau. Mm-hmm. They're starting a new campaign out now because they're like, oh, you know, here's the deal, everybody. Since ad blockers are everywhere, we're going to own up to the fact that we fucked up. We have crapped all over the internet and made it a terrible place for you to go to the point that,
considering I still see flash ads on pages. Yes.
Oh, we'll be getting a flash real quick. So they have launched the Lean Initiative. It's a light, encrypted, ad choice supported, non-invasive ads. Mm-hmm. This is their new face of the IAB. There's a link in the show notes. We're going to see how this kind of what they're going to propose.
Well, I'd like them to start with using a new font. This is horrible. This is already bad design. I hate this font.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can't stand it.
Well, you know, you can change that in your browser preferences.
That is true, but I like to see what people intend for me to see.
Okay.
Security? Ha!
Last segment, we were talking about flash ads.
Uh-huh.
Out today is the best vulnerability warning we've ever had. This is not hack of the week. This is not hack of the year. This is just hack of the century.
Okay.
We've always talked about flash as being a bad, bad thing.
Yes.
Well, now it has been confirmed that every version of flash on every platform forever is vulnerable.
Okay.
The only way to get around this problem is to uninstall Flash, period.
Which I have done on all of my computers.
Here's the interesting thing on Chrome. You can't uninstall it, but you can disable it.
Yes, you can disable it.
So make sure it's disabled, but uninstall it on everything that you've ever ran Flash on, especially that old, like, you know, XP machine that's sitting in the basement that you pop up every now and again. Although that thing's already compromised for hell and back.
I've got one of those and it is sitting there, but I don't think I'm ever going to open it.
Just don't connect it to the network.
No. Air gapped. So
we know how well that works.
Yeah. It don't matter.
No.
They were all screwed.
Yeah. Kismet, the major plugin for WordPress that has all of the spam crapioca in it.
For stupid people that leave comments on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I guess some sites you'd need it, but in general, why would you?
Yeah, Securi, one of the plugins that I use for all of the my security stuff, their researchers actually notified Akismet of the vulnerability. It's another cross-site scripting vulnerability about when you had emoticons on, and that ships by default as on now. So if you run WordPress and Akismet, which almost everybody does,
yes,
go get your update.
Right.
Or make sure your auto updates are on. So your WordPress site can break randomly in the middle of the night whenever they push an update.
And luckily, you don't have your iPad doesn't ring yet by your bedside when your clients call you.
That's what Do Not Disturb mode is for in the middle of the night.
It's a beautiful mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a new Edward Snowden in town.
We don't know who he is yet. Or she.
If they /he/she/it is smart, they will not do a Snowden and they will not come out and say who they are because unless you really like borscht.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because you're going to be eating that the rest of your life. But this is all about the U.S. military's drone program and how incredibly advanced and incredibly bad it is.
Yeah, it's not really nice. We kill a lot of people.
We kill a lot of people, and I don't think the U.S. military ever needs to use the phrase boots on the ground anymore. Why bother?
Yeah, death from above, more like.
It's all death from above now.
Yeah, there are two pieces. You linked the one from Salon, which I just said screw that and just went to the original, which is from The Intercept called it's the Drone Papers, and it's a very pretty piece of journalism I think they did here. It's, I mean, it's great journalism, but they also made it look really good.
Yeah, it almost looks like it's on Medium.
No, it looks a lot better than Medium.
It looks a ton better. It is beautifully done, and I did not actually read this. I did look at it. It was fantastic because the overview from the Salon article was depressing enough for me.
Yeah, if you wanted to go deep and look at the slides that were released, definitely hit the Intercept version. Mm-hmm. And check it out if you really want to get a little bit more depressed.
Right, I agree.
And if you want, this one is just funny. Hackers can silently control Siri from 16 feet away.
Yeah, I read this. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, using you know, standard radios, they tap into the headphone jack.
Yeah.
If you've got your headphones plugged in and you're listening to Siri or you're listening to your music, they can control Siri and own your phone.
Awesome.
The radio is not Wii by any stretch. I mean, they Yeah.
No, it's not. But I mean, you know, imagine you would just, if you wanted to do something crazy like this, large shopping spaces, they're everywhere. They're in every major city. And the upstairs are usually rented out for office spaces. So you just rent an office space at, say, Third Street Promenade, and you sit there with your gigantic radio, and you basically just own about 10,000 phones in 2 hours.
Well, I was just going to throw it in a van and take it to Times Square.
Or that, or just do what the government does and rent a plane.
Well, that's a low-flying plane. It's only 16 feet, man.
Oh, well, you know. Details, details.
Details, drone. Details.
Yeah.
Yeah, little tiny drones. They just need to shrink the radio on this thing. Yep. They do have a version that can fit in a backpack, and you can just, you know, walk up to somebody and stand next to them at a crosswalk and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to fix that one.
No, me either.
You know, that's what I said, you just give up.
Yeah.
And France, what's France thinking? They want to basically want to fingerprint everybody that's traveling through the EU. Now, the great thing about the EU is it's like, you know, open borders. You can just kind of roam around, right?
Yes, that was definitely my experience. It was my first time really kind of doing that. I hadn't gone anywhere other than the United Kingdom since the whole EU thing started. And it was fantastic. It was so easy to get around.
Yeah, I remember doing, because when I was there, I was, you know, just turning 21, and it was way before the EU, and every border crossing, you know, but yeah. We got stamps. I still like the stamps.
Missing the stamps is kind of a bummer. I'm glad I kept all my old passports that have all those in them.
What I don't miss is getting woken up by the Italian police in the middle of the night, you know, when we were traveling into Italy. That was the first place when I'd been over there that I'd seen a gun. And these guys come marching on the train with guns, you know, like rifles drawn. I'm like, oh, okay, welcome to Italy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this is an interesting issue for the EU. I get why you want fingerprints, and I've given my fingerprints. I've joined a couple of the different travel programs that allow me much quicker and faster border crossings and things like that, and I'm fingerprinted for that. I'm kind of okay with it, but the EU has basically said we're going to try to make it easier, and now France is being France and making it harder.
Yeah,
they're wanting to make it harder. You know, fingerprinting fine, but I think it should be opt-in. And it should get you some perks like it does for me, because, you know, crossing, when I go to Toronto, it takes me exactly 2 seconds and I don't even talk to a person to get to do border crossings. So,
oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it is just like, okay, I go up, put my thumbprint in, you scan my retina, I don't care. And then I'm through.
Yeah.
I wish you could do that at airports right now. I would sign up for that in a heartbeat.
You basically can.
Well, I mean, like for domestic flights.
Oh, right, right.
To skip the TSA.
Yeah. Good luck with that. The EU's got some weird stuff going on. There's a lot of different, I mean, one of the coolest things that I saw, I mean, German privacy laws are so strong. When I did find, you know, free Wi-Fi signups and things like that, they are, you know, here, if you like, say you're traveling and you don't find any free ones, or there are free ones, but you have to give them a bunch of information. They'll want your email address. They'll want your name and all and other demographics. And so big data, right? That's how a lot of the free internet, free Wi-Fi things work here, work in Canada, work in England as well.
You give them your marketing materials and they'll send you some ads in exchange for the Wi-Fi.
Yes. Well, Germany's privacy laws do not let them do that. So basically, they put the form there, but you can skip it and just get on the free Wi-Fi without giving any data.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't it nice? Germans really know what's going on.
Except they all use Android.
Except for that.
comment of the week.
Comment of the week. Our first is via Twitter from Elliot Earls. The grumpy old geeks seem to be obsessed with steganography. Sure, he's handsome, but I don't get it. And then there's a link to Stedman Graham, which is the Oprah's erstwhile boyfriend, or that they had a spiritual union with or something like that. I actually don't get this.
I don't get it either.
I'm pretty sure this is meant to be a joke and very funny, but I'm not getting it. So Elliot Earls, feel free to explain yourself.
Yes, please explain.
Yeah.
That's the best kind of humor when you have to go explain it.
Yes, you stumped us and we don't get it.
Our next comment comes from GOG.com, well, grumpyoldgeeks.com, yep. From Craig Tissinger. Is that how you say that? Tissinger?
Kissinger? Henry Kissinger.
Singer. Okay. Sorry about butchering your name. Hi, Brian and Jason. I heard about your show from an old sponsored theme song of yours on the Morning Dump. Hey, that money went to good use. Woo-hoo. I have come to enjoy your podcast so much that I went back to the beginning and have started working my way through all of the episodes.
We keep telling you people not to do that.
You poor bastard. You discount yourselves as being tipsy and off target in the early shows, but I appreciated hearing you both speak on your backgrounds in those early editions. Happy listener. I can relate to both of you. Keep it up. Well, thank you, Craig.
Thanks, Craig. Tipsy is, we were drunk. Let's be honest.
We were shit faced.
Let's call a spade a spade. We were drunk, but yeah. Thank you very much. And yeah, that's awesome. Very nice of you. And we have a 5-star iTunes rating. So What is the title? And this is from Cold Dog. Enjoy the podcast. Don't always agree with the opinions, but so what? I don't always agree with my own opinions. Might want to go get that checked out. Talk to a doctor.
Well, that kind of goes with what we do here.
That is very true.
Opinions change from week to week.
Yes, they do. Thank you. Thank you very much, Cold Dog. Thank you very much, Craig. Thank you very much, Elliot Earls, sort of. We appreciate any comments and questions that you may have. Please do try to get in touch with us on Twitter at GOG Podcast, at GrumpyOldGeeks.com. Please give us a 5-star iTunes rating at GrumpyOldGeeks.com/iTunes. Don't bother with Facebook. And of course, Patreon, patreon.com/GOG.
At the library.
I finished a book. Woo-hoo. Finished The Ghost Brigades, which is a follow-up to Old Man's War from John Scalzi. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm done with this universe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all the reviews for the next set of books in the series, like, you know, I think so. I read 1 and 2, so books 4 through 6, I mean, 3 through 6, terrible reviews.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to end on a high note with this one because it was even getting a little meh at the end of Ghost Brigades.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I mean, it's I don't know if you listen to Tested regularly or if listened to it recently, but Adam Savage and those guys have been really going off on Scalzi and how great all of his books are recently. So,
well,
good to know.
No, the Old Man's War is where I found out about that book from that podcast, and that's when I jumped into it. And then the next one is the Ghost Brigades, and it was a fun story, but kind of it was okay.
Right.
But it wasn't great. And I'd rather put my time into something that I think is going to be a little bit more great.
Okay. Fair enough. I also read a book, which was all the traveling I was doing. You'd think I would have been reading more, but it was just pretty hectic and frantic getting around. And on the trains, I actually had to do a little bit of work. So that's when I had thought I would be reading. And then I watched a ton of movies and, you know, got drunk on planes, which that'll be the next segment. But I did pick up while I was traveling. I picked up Bill Bryson has always been one of my favorite travel writers. He's just he's written a ton of really enjoyable books. He moved to Britain about 20 some odd years ago. And one of the first books I ever read from him was his Notes from a Small Island, I believe it was called, which is when he first went there and he talked about, you know, he traveled around and gave his impressions, and he did it again 20 years later. And this book is called The Road to Little Dribbling, Adventures of an American in Britain. And it just seemed like an incredibly appropriate thing to be reading while I was over there. So I still haven't gotten to some of the other books that I've been meaning to get to for ages, but I took a break. I read this. It's fantastic. Bill Bryson is just great. He has definitely gotten old and grumpy. He's a grumpy old not geek at this point. So it's a little bit more get off my lawn than he's ever written before, but I liked it. It was a great read. If you're a fan of Bill Bryson, this is the newest and you should get it and read it and enjoy it.
I will definitely pick that up. I am a fan of his, and I haven't read anything from him in a long time. But his old book, A Short History of Nearly Everything, is one of the best books ever written.
Yeah, I did love that book. I think the last thing that he wrote was that whole book that explored your house and how things came to be, like how houses got their structure and what foyers used to be for and how they transitioned into this and that and all that sort of stuff, which was fascinating. I mean, I have not read a bad book by him.
Okay, yeah, that's called At Home, A Short History of Private Life.
There you go. That was fucking fascinating. And I think that's the last thing he wrote, and that was probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was 2011. I'm going to have to pick that up because I've never heard of that book.
Oh, that's great. It's absolutely great. I'll pop that in the show notes as well.
Awesome.
Media Candy.
There is a trailer for a movie basically talking about Tower Records. All Things Must Pass is the name of the movie. TowerRecordsMovie.com/trailer. Tower Records, I have spent so much money there. It's almost ridiculous. I had a crush on a girl that worked there. I basically went there every weekend. Tower Records was a huge part of me growing up, and it's one of those things that I always feel bad about because kids these days will not have those kinds of experiences. A lot of luminaries in it. Looks like it's going to be pretty interesting, I guess. It's hard to imagine how a movie about Tower Records, like a full anything more than 30 minutes is going to happen, but we'll see. If you're into Tower Records, if you remember it, if you remember fondly going around record stores, I highly recommend you check out the trailer.
You should also check out Colin Hanks Returns on the Nerdist podcast if you want a little bit of backstory on it.
Okay. I haven't listened to the Nerdist in ages. I will definitely check that out.
Yeah, I popped it on the other day, and they were talking about that because it's Colin Hanks' movie.
Ah, there you go. That must be why he was on Corolla the other day. I didn't listen to that either. 40th anniversary of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and they're doing cinema screenings around the world.
Blu-ray.
Yes. Hashtag Holy Grail 40. I think I might have to go out for this.
Did you also see the, I think, 14 minutes of animations that they found?
Yeah. That was cool as hell.
Yeah. We got to put those in the show notes too. I watched like half of it, but I had to get up and go to work. So yeah, I want to pick it up.
I watched a little bit of it too. It's a 14-minute straight of animation for Monty Python's a little bit rough to do in one go.
Right, but the commentary was pretty fun.
Exactly, yeah. And some news came out about the artists that they're using in Homeland.
Oh yeah, this is great.
This is awesome. They've been planting messages basically because nobody really checks anything. And, you know, this is what happens. So Homeland is Racist is painted in Arabic on the set of the show. And since nobody working on the show apparently reads Arabic, they did not notice.
Right. The only people that did are the people that were making the messages. So they were putting some Easter eggs in, which I think is great.
That's good times. And nothing, you know, very, very funny. Actually, I'm sure it's supposed to be some sort of political commentary, but, you know, it's funny. And as I mentioned, I'm not a big movie guy. Jason's the movie guy on this show. But when I do fly, I do like to get drunk and watch movies.
Okay, let's have them.
And there was a lot of flying. There was a lot of flying going on, so there's a lot of movies. So in ascending order of decentness, this is what I watched.
So we're starting it with crap first.
We're starting with the crap and then moving to decent. Terminator Genesis. God, that was a horrible piece of shit.
I can't believe you spent your time on that one. Dude. Even the trailer. I wanted my life back after watching the trailer on that one.
Again, I spent roughly combined about 26 hours on planes.
Okay.
So I was getting down to the dregs at this point. And plus, you know, the whiskey thing. So yeah, Terminator Genesis, absolutely horrible. I don't know why they bothered making it. It was ridiculous.
Money. They wanted more money.
I guess. I hope they're done. I hope that, please no more. You've ruined the entire world. Go back and watch the original. That's it. Jurassic World. It was fine. Great.
It was popcorn-y.
It's popcorn-y. It's fine. You get to see dinosaurs run around, but again, out of ideas. And who the fuck in the real world would actually back one of these parks anymore? I mean, how many times has this not worked for people?
Every time.
Every single time it's not worked, yet they keep doing it, and there's some shady guy that's always trying to do something with the military, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, this one they should have stopped at one as well. But Terminator 2, I just want to back up for a second because you only said watch the first one. Terminator 2 was awesome.
Sorry, that's a very good point. Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 were excellent.
Jurassic Park, just stick with one.
Who's the guy that's the main star in Jurassic World that's a big star for some reason?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, he had no personality in this movie.
He was much better in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'll give you that. He was decent in that. I don't understand why he's a big star based on Jurassic World, though. That was horrible.
Because the girls think he's dreamy.
Yeah, whatever. All right, moving on to a somewhat feminist flick, surprisingly, Mad Max Fury Road.
Now, okay, I want to hear what you have to say about this, because this is pretty far down the list. I didn't like it.
I don't feel that there was it didn't change throughout the entire movie. There was no up, no down, no story, no nothing. Just continuous, we're driving and shit's happening. That's it. I was so bored. I didn't care about anyone. I didn't care about the characters. I barely made it through. I think I nodded off a couple times.
The thing about this movie is this is not plain watching movie. This is going to the theater, getting surrounded by it movie.
Yeah,
it was amazing in the theater.
That is probably the only thing that would have made it decent. I just felt like, again, there was you want a little bit, you want an ebb and flow, you want some up and down, you want some crescendo, you want some nothing. It was flat the whole way through, and the flat was amped up and hardcore. And I guess if you had very loud sound going on and all that sort of thing,
in the theater. I had a great time with this movie in the theater.
All right, I thought it was a nothing movie.
Yeah, don't watch it on a plane. Don't watch action movies like that on a plane.
Well, to be Ant-Man, not bad.
Really?
I was surprised. I was expecting it to be totally shit, but Paul Rudd really saved it.
Okay. Because I don't like Paul Rudd. That's why I'm not really that big into it.
You're not going to like it then. I was surprised to see, not Kirk Douglas, Michael Douglas was actually in it and pretty good as well. I know nothing about Ant-Man. I'm not I don't really give a shit about the Avengers, and there was some tie-ins with that, and I don't give a shit about superhero movies, but I actually thought this was cute and I enjoyed it.
Okay. I'll check it out when it comes out on the DVDs.
Yeah. It's in the middle of the list, so it's not like it was great or anything, but it was decent. Amy, the documentary about Amy Winehouse. Again, I watched these two movies that I'm about to talk about on the way to England, so it was perfect. That was absolutely fantastic. You don't even really need to be that into Amy Winehouse because there's not a lot of performance or things like that. But it is a great story you find out how musically talented she was. She was an absolute genius. She really, really was. And just how unprepared she was for fame, fucked up background, all that sort of thing. Friends and family basically screwing her over, going after money. Just how horrible everything went for her when she got everything she wanted and how it destroyed her. And it was a great documentary.
Yeah. I really want to see this one. I'm just worried it's going to be super depressing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is beyond depressing. But again, I think people go, oh yeah, Amy Winehouse, she could sing. You have no idea how musically talented she was. And that was the really cool part of the doc. So, and then finally, Control, which is the story of Joy Division, shot by Anton Corbin. And if you're aware of how his photography and any of his video stuff looks like, you know exactly how this movie is going to look the whole way through. It's black and white. It's very dark. It's very depressing. It's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love how you're ending on a high note here.
Oh, but it was amazing. I mean, it was so good. I'm a huge Joy Division fan anyways, and to see the story, and they nailed that time period in music and in Britain so well, and the characters were great, and who knew that Peter Hook was such an asshole? I love it. He was a funny fucking asshole that hated everybody else in the band, which is probably why he's not in the band anymore. New Order, continuing on from Joy Division. But it was great. Again, another tale of a very talented musician that just really couldn't handle life or fame. And no, I am going out on a high note because there is one more movie, and this was actually unbelievably good. I loved every second of it, and it's a kids movie, Inside Out by Pixar.
I've heard nothing but great things about this. I started watching it the other night and fell asleep, so I need to go back to it.
You need to go back to it, and again, I will blame alcohol and altitude. I cried. A little tear.
Everybody I know that has seen this movie has cried.
It tugs at the heartstrings, and yet it's also, there are parts that are laugh out loud funny. This was fantastically done. I think it's probably my favorite Pixar movie ever.
All right. I've heard that as well, which is crazy because, there's a lot of really good Pixar movies.
But yeah, there are a lot of great ones. And if you have not seen Inside Out, do so immediately. I can't recommend it enough.
Now, are you excited that The Incredibles 2 is coming?
No.
You didn't like The Incredibles?
I thought it was okay.
Okay.
I would like to see another original idea rather than sequels.
Okay. That's fine with me.
Okay.
I want to talk about The Martian real quick.
Did you see it?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, it came out the day I left. So.
You need to get on that.
I know I do.
But take your time. That's okay. All I'm going to say. You don't have to rush.
All right.
But I am going to go out on a high note. We'll just circle back on The Martian when you get to it. Okay. I also want to comment the website for The Martian. What a steaming pile of crap. We used to give a shit about making movie websites. This thing is just brochureware. It's terrible.
Well, nobody cares anymore and they don't want to spend any money on it. It looks the whole website looks like an ad banner.
Yeah, I think what we really determined back in the day when we spent millions of dollars on movie websites is they don't really sell tickets, or at least they don't anymore. Back in the day, they might, but they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going out on the high note. The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe, read by Christopher Walken.
That excites me to no end, and I will be listening to it tonight.
It's like 8 minutes long. Go listen to it. It's great. And there's sadly no cowbell, but it is a great read.
Does he happen to mention champagne at all?
I don't recall.
Damn.
The web's not dead. Oh no, it's not.
I found a great article in The Atlantic this week about how the web is disintegrating. You know, we used to say that once it's on the internet, it's always on the internet.
Not so much anymore.
Turns out that's really not true. And, you know, there are places like the Internet Archive who are trying to save everything. But I found through my travels on there from my old sites that domains that have been, you know, dropped and bought by somebody else. If you put a robots.txt file that says no in it, then they will not show the old stuff. So my old websites are like being held hostage by somebody with a crappy robots, you know, text file.
Yeah.
And you just have to wait for somebody else to buy the domain and hopefully they don't have one and then they'll unlock your old stuff. But this is a great story about this journalist who did a piece on it called The Crossing. And it was for, who was that again? Oh, the Rocky Mountain News. And it's this really long piece, but it was just a great web epic story from way back in the day. And it just disappeared when the paper went under.
Right.
And his story about how he got it back. And now it's back on the internet. And just because he just happened to have a backup CD sitting around.
You're right. Right.
And, you know, I'm glad he got it off of the backup CD because half of my backup CDs from back in the day on the web, all gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting read. And, you know, I'd kind of like sometime you and I should talk about this a little more because, you know, and in the one of the great quotes in 1994, there were fewer than 3,000 websites online. That stat alone is crazy because I think I had two of those 3,000 were mine.
And I had at least one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we always did. That was the promise. And we always thought that, you know, once it was out on the web, it was up there forever. And that was true for a very long time, but, we're seeing things go away and all the backups, like I've got everything I ever did is burned on a CD, but I probably, if I pulled some of those out, they probably wouldn't even work anymore.
Yeah. You know what? I had a huge problem with that because we burned those CDs way back on you did it on a PC. I did it on Macs, you know, on System 7, System 8, System 9 and OS 10, half of the time it wouldn't read them. So I spent maybe like 3 weeks taking all of those CDs, ripping them onto a hard drive, but the way the directory structure was set up, it wouldn't list any of the files in the directory, even though they were there.
Right.
It was the craziest thing, but I lost, you know, some of my really original work.
Right.
The first website stuff, like the first incarnation of the Spew, gone.
Which I wrote for.
You wrote for the third incarnation.
Was it the third incarnation?
Okay. Yeah, because the first one was when I was working overnight at Kinko's back in Chicago. That was the first Spew. And then when I got out and met you, we were probably on number three after the third design.
Yeah.
I still have your reviews if you want them.
No, that'd actually be interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, why not?
So check out The Crossing, though. It's kind of cool. It's a really cool story about a bus getting hit by a train.
Okay, uplifting.
Yes, lots of dead children.
Okay, well, keeping up with the uplifting thing, I ran across this, and this is ironically on a site called brightside.me. Six harsh truths which will make you a better person. It is a listicle, but I think it's a good listicle, and I think that you want to get an insight into my personality. I could have written this damn thing, and I love it. Everything is good. I'm just going to give you the rundown, and I think that everybody should go read this article and read the stories and points behind all of these 6 points. The first one, the world only cares about what it can get from you.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number five, the hippies were wrong. Basically,
I don't get that one. What's that mean?
Basically, all this bullshit about sunshine and love and everybody's good and you're not your job. Yes, you are. And people are not that good and everyone sucks. Number four, what you produce does not have to make money, but it does have to benefit people. I do like that one quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, you hate yourself because you don't do anything. And I find that to be incredibly true. I find that most of the people that are angry and frustrated and hate everything all the time do not get off their asses, and all they do is sit and fucking read bullshit online and look at porn and text each other stupid shit. Get off your ass and go do something, and you'll be in a better mood.
Yeah, I'm glad I make stuff all week long.
Exactly. Make things and you'll be in a better mood. Number two, what you are inside only matters because of what it makes you do. This is also true. Nobody gives a fuck about what is going on inside you or what you think about things, but that should make you get up and do something and put something out into the world, and that people will care about. And number one, everything inside you will fight improvement. And if you are at all aware of yourself, you know this is true.
It's a tough one. It does fight back.
Yeah.
This is what I deal with on my day job. We are about improving people, yes. And it is difficult. Yes, you have to really want it.
Yes, and I believe all six of these points are extremely true, and once you accept them, you will have a better and happier life. See? Ended on a high note.
Closing shout outs!
I want to give a shout out to my Los Angeles Dodgers, who unfortunately screwed the pooch last night and are no longer in the running and have ended their season. Unfortunately, because of the way baseball works, this team will not be back next year. We expect a lot of people to jump ship and probably the manager to get fired. But you gave me a great season nevertheless, and I enjoyed watching, and it's very sad. I'd also like to give a huge shout out to Europe, all of it, because they treat you like an adult there.
Okay.
I'm coming back to the U.S. What I'm going to need you to do for me right now, sir, you can't do that, sir. You can't do this. You can't do that. We're protecting you, sir. Oh, fuck you. All right. So there you go.
Welcome home.
Yes, it's good to be back, you fucking Prius assholes.
Well, you know, your Dodgers are out, but the Cubs are still in.
I know. It's the I really hope the whole Back to the Future thing comes out true. It'd be great if they actually won.
Yeah, that would be nice, just so people would shut up about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd like to throw a good shout out to Jordan Cooper for helping out last week. Really appreciate it. And
yeah, thank you, Jordan.
And I also really appreciate the sports-splaining because I got a lot out of that, surprisingly.
Right. Maybe you'll become a sports ball fan.
No. Thanks for listening. I'm Jason DeFilippo, and you can check me out at jpd.me, even though I haven't updated it since May, but that's going to change soon, I promise.
We've heard these things before. And I'm Brian Schillmeister, and you can follow me on Twitter at @SlenigerFungus, which basically I never tweet anyways, but I tell you that all the time.
Until next time.
Grumpy Old Geeks is a fan-supported show. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/GOG. We really appreciate your support, and we could use it. If you don't want to or can't donate but still want to support the show, please go to grumpyoldgeeks.com/iTunes and leave us a few words and 5 stars, and please do tell a friend about the show. Intro music for the show is provided by the band Among Us. You can find them on iTunes, Spotify, and Tidal. Or you can donate through the Grumpy Old Geeks Patreon page at patreon.com/GOG to get 10 exclusive tracks. Outro music for the show is provided by Andy Swachansky. You can follow Andy at twitter.com/houseofandy. And he's also on SoundCloud at grumpyoldgeeks.com/andy. Show notes for all the links discussed in this episode can be found at grumpyoldgeeks.com/132.
Once, upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door.